Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And yes, New Jersey, there is an election campaign for governor. And with us now is the Democratic candidate, the only Democrat who stood up to run against Chris Christie when Cory Booker, Stephen Sweeney, and others declined to enter the primary. State Senator and former Senate Majority Leader Bob Rabuono from Metuchen. Senator, thanks for crossing the river. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's great to be here.
And let me get your thoughts first on the history-making news of the day. I know marriage equality is an issue you have long championed. So here we are on day one, and Governor Christie announced that he will drop his appeal to the state's highest court.
Well, he didn't have a choice. I have six kids, and it reminds me of trying to force my kids to eat spinach. And they say, well, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. And thanks to our Supreme Court in New Jersey, they denied the governor's stay for our lower court decision. And they basically said in no uncertain terms that he didn't have a leg to stand on the merits. And so he was really forced into doing this. But that said, it is a great day for the gay, lesbian, and brothers and sisters across New Jersey. This governor has been the one person that has stood in the way for 4 years of giving them their rights and treating them like second-class citizens. You know, my daughter is openly gay. She's done a YouTube video for the campaign, and I called her. She lives in San Francisco, and I said, Tess, you know, we have marriage equality in New Jersey. And she said, wait a minute. Does that mean that if I come back to New Jersey, I can actually get married in New Jersey? And I said, yeah, you can come home now. So hopefully she will.
But the governor didn't have to do it this way. He could have waited those few more days, few more weeks, whatever it was going to be, until the state Supreme Court ruled, presumably, that gay marriage would be upheld, the lower court's ruling would be upheld. So what do you make of it from a political standpoint? Does he... Is he doing, you know, something that he thinks is consistent with the voters of New Jersey, even if it may fly in the face of some of the Republican primary voters he may face if he runs for president?
Well, two things. Let me just say one thing on the merits of the case. The Supreme Court was very clear. If you read their denial of his request to stay the lower court's decision, they said that he has no chance of winning on the merits if he came before the court. So he would have been criticized for unnecessarily spending more state dollars on, a losing proposition. He already spent, we don't even know how much he spent on this scheduling of the separate election for the United States Senate. It's anywhere from $12 million to $24 million just to benefit himself. But, you know, it's not just marriage equality. This governor is consistent in being in sync on social issues with the Tea Party. You know, he's the first governor since Roe v. Wade who's fervently anti-choice. He is he's been anti-marriage equality for as long as we can remember. He's anti-pay equity. He doesn't think women should get equal pay for equal work. And he's zeroed out state funding for Planned Parenthood. All of this just to cater to the national conservative base of the Republican Party. So succinctly put, every decision this governor makes is calibrated by how it will play in the conservative base of the national Republican Party, because he wants to run for president. We know that. I'm the only candidate that's running for governor.
People might ask, given the odds, why are you doing this? Do you have a history of taking on what most people consider lost causes?
Well, you know, I don't agree with the premise of the question. I will say this. As a woman in New Jersey politics for 20 years, I'm used to being underestimated and defying the odds. When I first ran in 1994 for the lower house, the assembly, I was told I'll never win. Christy Todd Whitman, a Republican governor, was at the height of her popularity. The Republicans had veto-proof majorities in both houses. I ran against our political boss in my county, John Lynch, and I beat him. And I won. And then again, they said I couldn't do it the next year. It was a fluke. And I won again. Same thing when I ran for the Senate. Been there, won that. And same thing when I became the first woman budget chair in the Senate. And I managed to do that. Same thing when I became the first woman majority leader in the Senate. In fact, I was told by one of the political bosses at the time that I was overplaying my hand. Well, you know, I don't wait for permission by the political bosses to do what I think is in the best interest of the people of New Jersey.
So, listeners, how about this? If you are an Obama-Christie voter, or given the recent Senate election, a Cory Booker-Chris Christie voter, call in for Barbara Buono and tell her why you won't vote straight Democratic and support her, too, and let her try to convince you to her side. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Again, specifically for those of you who have voted either for Obama and Christie or Booker and likely next month Christie, you're the ones Barbara Buono needs to make a race of it in the next few weeks. Call in and tell her what's stopping you or making you hesitate, and maybe she'll try to talk you out of voting for Governor Christie's reelection. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. While the calls are coming in, the Star-Ledger gave a lukewarm endorsement to Governor Christie yesterday. It called him overrated and said his spin does not match his substance. And it said the main reason they were endorsing him anyway is that you are, quote, a deeply flawed candidate, unquote. And reason number one was that you're too close to the teachers union, opposing charter schools, which are helping poor kids, they say, and opposing the Newark contract under which the worst teachers don't get raises and the best teachers get bigger raises. Want to defend your stance on those two things?
Well, Tom Moran said we disagree on the education reform such as it is. I am a proud graduate of New Jersey's public schools. I went to, you know, I was on my own since I was 19. I was able to put myself through college and law school in New Jersey because it was affordable and we had quality institutions of higher learning. And so I believe, you know, if you know my history, and I was surprised that Tom Moran was so offensive, I thought, in that editorial.
So he's people know he's columnist for the Star-Ledger. You think he was the main editorial writer?
No question.
Was put out as the editorial board.
Well, no question. Tom and I have many conversations, and we differ dramatically on education reform. I believe that we need to build on what we have in New Jersey, the traditional public school. And yes, we have some of the best public schools in New Jersey, but we have some that have an achievement gap. But we know how to fix that. And it's not by draining more public dollars from our traditional public schools into private and parochial school vouchers, which Tom supports. It's by funding our public schools. It's by expanding universal preschool and all-day kindergarten quality after-school programs. That's not what candidate Buono says. That's what the experts tell us. That is the one investment that has been proven to have the most the greatest impact on our children's long-term success in education.
The editorial in the Star-Ledger, the endorsement also says that your, quote, alliance with the unions would also threaten progress made in containing the cost of public workers. She voted against the pension and health care reform and supports the practice of allowing public workers to accumulate pay for unused sick days. She would cap the total at $7,500, but even that reveals a mindset that is discouraging.
Well, let me say this. That was really a cynical half-truth. The fact of the matter is, since 2006, I led the charge when I recognized that public employee pensions were going to collapse under the weight of their own debt if we did nothing. When I was chair of the Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee in 2008 and 2009, I spearheaded common sense reforms to our public employee pension system. But when this governor came, and we passed them, and I stood up to our governor at the time, Corzine, because he didn't support them. I stood up to the Senate president and members of my own party because I was doing the right thing to save the pensions for those who had worked their entire lives and was counting on them. Then when this governor came into office in 2011, he went beyond pension reform. What he did is he used pension reform as a Trojan horse, if you will. And his hidden agenda, I believe, was to drive a dagger through the heart of our labor unions by eliminating collective bargaining for health benefits. You see, what I voted against, and I tried to have the bill split into two separate bills, was a bill that would enact pension reform, which there was agreement on. But the piece of the bill that I had great objection to and where I drew the line in the sand was eviscerating collective bargaining for health benefits. This is a governor who has just decided to go along with the rest of the far-right Republicans on the national level, the Republican governors and their shenanigans to eliminate collective bargaining. And, you know, I believe that unions built up our middle class. You know, my father was a union butcher. We grew up, didn't have a lot of money. My father worked. He came home dead tired every night. He fell asleep on the couch. But you know what? He had a living wage, and he had the dignity of being able to support our family.
Can you tag Chris Christie with that? Because he did not propose what Scott Walker proposed in Wisconsin to eliminate the ability of the public sector workers to negotiate contracts, right?
Well, that wouldn't have passed the legislature. But what he did do, and what's successful doing, is he eliminated collective bargaining for health benefits, which is a significant piece of what you have to as a public employee. Your salaries really are not commensurate with the private industry. I worked in state government as a public defender at one point, and I remember going, and I was an attorney, young attorney, and they told me what my pay was going to be, and they said, but you get good benefits. And so that figures into the equation when people take jobs.
Why do you think New Jersey seems to be trending toward Chris Christie, or even elected him in the first place?
Well, those are two different questions.
It's a Democratic state, and you could answer each of them separately if you want. It's a Democratic state, as was in the news recently with the election of Cory Booker. The state hasn't sent a Republican to the U.S. Senate in many decades now. The governorship after Whitman seemed like it was solidly in Democratic hands. Was it just that John Corzine did such a bad job?
Well, John Corzine was out of touch on many levels. He heralded an increase in tolls, an 800% increase in our tolls over the course of years, and had this securitization, as we called it, a monetization plan to pay down our debt. And I was the chair of the committee that held committee meetings that killed that movement. So I think that was a big piece of it. He wasn't a great communicator, let me just say this. And we really bumped heads on many issues. The pension issue was one of them, when I had public employee unions actually picketing my Senate office when I spearheaded those charges. And so that's the answer to your first question. To the second question, it's a different question and requires a different answer. This governor has been seen, he's great on late night TV. He's a very good entertainer. As Governor O'Malley said when he came to New Jersey last week to campaign, if you can't govern, well, you better be able to entertain. And this governor is a good entertainer. He's great with the wisecracks on late night TV. But you know what, Brian? No amount of YouTube videos and these choreographed town hall meetings are going to erase the fact that New Jersey has the highest rate of unemployment in the region for every year this governor's been in office. His social values are in sync with the Tea Party. And you know what? His economic politics, he's really an evangelist for the Mitt Romney style trickle-down economics, and he's taken a page out of his book, and it's a failed economic policy, and that's why New Jersey is suffering. That's why we have the lowest rate of job creation in the region.
Everett in Belleville, you're on WNYC with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Barbara Buono. Hi, Everett.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You have a question?
Yes, I would like to know how will you change the education system and the law enforcement also in order for laws to be more enforced?
Well, with respect, two different questions. With respect to education, as I told you, I was on my own since I was 19, but I was able to achieve what I did because I had a good public education. You see, I believe that in a democracy, a public education is the great equalizer. And I had that opportunity, but all of our children don't get the resources that they need. And so I was the only senator to have the courage to sponsor the School Funding Reform Act. And what that did, and this governor dismantled it, was it sent resources based on a child's need. So if a child lives in Belleville, in Short Hills, in Newark, in Edison, if they were at risk, they learned English as a second language, then they would get the resources they needed to learn. It also envisioned expanding universal preschool because, as we know, this is the one investment that makes a real difference. This governor called it glorified babysitting, so we have a major difference in funding education.
And let's keep it on education. He asked such two such huge questions. We'll keep it to that one. But let me follow up on that with more from the Star-Ledger endorsement of Christie yesterday. It said, your critique of him centers on property taxes and jobs, but she lacks a convincing strategy to do any better herself. She has a long list of expensive plans from universal preschool, which is what you mentioned, one of the things, to more aid for public colleges, but she can't name a single spending cut beyond the traditional promise to attack fraud and abuse. So do you have a way to pay for your education spending plans?
Absolutely. And as I said to the Star-Ledger editorial board and to you as well and your listeners, I have a very detailed economic plan. And if you go on buonoforgovernor.com, you'll be able to read it. But at its core, it is about priorities. And my vision is a vision for my first 4 years, my first term. And I can tell you this. It will be a vision that puts public education as a priority and not a whipping boy, and puts the middle class and the working poor ahead of millionaires. This governor has balanced our budget time and time and time again on the backs of the middle class and the working poor by raising property taxes, by raising taxes on the working poor, and allowing millionaires to get off the hook, not to pay their fair share. And in addition, he's given the sum and substance of this governor's economic plan. Talk about cost. $2.1 billion in tax credits to big corporations. That's it. And we know it hasn't delivered the quality and quantity of jobs that New Jersey needs to put those 400,000 people back to work.
How do you police that? We talked with the New York candidates last week, and one of the activists from New Jersey who doesn't like the tax subsidies to corporations for jobs that either do or don't materialize. But then again, you need to compete with New York. You need to compete with Pennsylvania. You need to compete with Texas. So how do you do it and make sure that whatever tax incentives you do give them actually produce jobs?
Well, there is a way to do it. You're absolutely right, Brian. I think you're suggesting that there's no accountability and there's no oversight for these tax credits, which is really another way of spending, and it's not monitored by the state. When I was budget chair, I sponsored legislation that was actually signed into law in the waning days of the lame duck in the last administration, and what it did is it would require, at the same time any governor gives their budget address, to deliver a similar address on tax revenue, on the tax expenditure budget. This administration has paid lip service to it. You know, in essence, has listed the tax credits and the deductions without going through a thorough analysis of the costs and benefits and whether or not they're delivering what the objectives of the original bill were. And it's important to have that, because with tax expenditures, it's not like regular line items in the budget. Every year you go through a line item, you determine whether or not you want to cut it. With tax expenditures, it's in the tax code forever unless you do something about it.
And you would raise the state income tax on the highest earners
Correct.
In New Jersey?
Correct. I would have millionaires pay their fair share. Yes, I would.
How much on who? And what do you mean by millionaires? Is that somebody with $1 million in assets? No, right?
Over $1 million. That portion of the revenue that was in excess of $1 million. And, you know, the details would have to be worked out in terms of, you know, the amount, the rate, et cetera. But, you know, the fact is that, you know, my budget would be focused on standing up for the middle class and for the working poor and not protecting millionaires at their expense.
That's just to be clear, that would be $1 million of income in a year, not somebody who just has $1 million.
Correct. But the increase in the tax rate would be in that revenue that was in excess of
yes,
$1 million.
Only on that portion. Alan in Montvale, you're on WNYC with Democratic candidate for Governor Barbara Buono. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I am an Obama and Christie supporter. You asked about that
yes.
in particular. It's really one issue and one issue only. I live in northern Bergen County, which is very congested already and getting more congested through sprawl. We're losing every bit of open space in our towns is being turned into high-density housing, low-income housing. It's as soon as things are available, they disappear, and the congestion is just awful. Mostly this is due to this Mount Laurel or COA legislation, which comes straight out of the state of New Jersey. Governor Christie is the only politician I've ever heard even mention this as a major issue, and to come out and actually take some action to stop it, to help towns take back control of the way they want their towns to be. And that's a huge issue for me. As I've been living here for 15 years in Montvale, and the sprawl is just impossible to deal with.
And, Senator, you support the Mount Laurel decision, correct?
I do. But when you talk about sprawl, I'm shocked to say that you support Governor Christie. This is a governor who pulled the plug on the ARC tunnel, the tunnel going into the city that would have taken more cars off the road and put them on rails into the city. And, by the way, it would have enhanced your property values on our side of the river, would have created 40,000 permanent jobs, 6,000 construction jobs. And so I'm surprised when you talk about construction, that you're not considering that. And this governor, again, made that decision purely political, said it was because he got a new cost estimate that New Jersey was going to be on the hook for more money than we thought, when indeed that wasn't true. The government accounting office issued a report afterwards and saying there was no new cost estimate. And so that was a pivotal decision. And unfortunately, you don't have to wonder why New Jersey has the highest rate of unemployment in the region when political decisions are made like that.
Alan wants the towns to have control over their own housing.
The Supreme Court case of the Mount Laurel decision, I support it. I think that it is people deserve a right to live in communities near where they work. This governor has not only failed to offer a remedy, but he's thwarted any effort to he made it worse by taking funds that municipalities had set aside and collected from developers to be used to fund affordable housing and tried to take it to fill his budget hole, which is why I find it comical when people say that he's balanced a budget without increasing any taxes. Well, I'd like to know how he balanced the budget, certainly on the backs of the most vulnerable. So I support the Mount Laurel decision, and I would work with the legislature and according to the Supreme Court strictures to actually come up with a solution and not just thwart any solution every step of the way.
Last thing, and as we are in Affordable Housing Week in our election coverage this week, such a burden, a strain on affordable housing in New Jersey is the ever-present burden of property taxes. Could you do a better job than Governor Christie in easing that burden?
Absolutely. When this governor was a candidate, he promised he wouldn't cut property tax relief. Not only did he cut direct property tax rebates, school funding by $1 billion, and municipal aid when he came into office in the middle of a recession, but he made state history. It was the biggest cut in property tax relief in state history. And so, again, it's about priorities. I would ensure that our residents get the needed property tax relief that we had been affording them up until that point. We preserved it as best we could, even during the global meltdown, in the throes of the global meltdown. I would ensure that our public schools were funded according to the law of the land and not cut $1 billion like this governor did. And you know how it is, Brian, in New Jersey. We have this home rule. We have over 500 municipalities. And again, this governor promised that encouraging and facilitating municipalities' abilities to merge and to share services would be a priority. And yet, he hasn't funded. And the very commission that was designed to help municipalities make those decisions and give them the information they needed hasn't been funded and hasn't met in 3 years. And so I would make that a priority because the multiplicity of municipalities and services does add to the cost of property tax burdens.
1 minute for anything you want to say to the voters before you go.
Yeah, I would like to say to the voters that with a Buono Silva campaign and administration, you can be sure of this, that you will have a governor that stands up for the middle class and for the working poor. I know what it's like to be without a job, to be on food stamps, and I know what it's like to have opportunity in New Jersey. And so knowing that New Jersey was there for me, this is a state that made me who I am, I would make it my first priority to make sure that every New Jerseyan had the same opportunity that I did, and I would stand up for the middle class and for the working poor. This governor's policies have hurt them and left them behind.
State Senator Barbara Buono, the Democratic candidate for governor of New Jersey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still to come, historian Tom Standage on 2,000 years of social media, the Facebooks and Twitters of centuries past and how they shaped democracy and freedom of speech, and who owns the graffiti at Five Points in Queens, why a judge will have to rule on private claims to public art. Banksy, are you listening? Stay with us.